Dear friends, I'm turning with you to that portion of God's Word in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 8. Please turn to these passages as I read them to you. In verse 8, we read this, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Tonight, I want us to think about the subject of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially as we have often done from the viewpoint of these shepherds, that the shepherds hear of Christ's birth. That's the theme of the message here tonight. I'd like us to think very simply, in almost a narrative manner, of these shepherds of Bethlehem, or in this region around Bethlehem. Back in verse 7 of this second chapter of Luke, we read of Mary and how she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Jesus Christ was not born in a manger, as some people say. He was laid in a manger. I'm sorry for ruining some people's phraseology. But that's how it says it here. And this is what happened. Mary gave birth. She wrapped this child and laid him in the manger. Why was that? Because there was no room for them in the inn. But then there were shepherds. So the scene changes. Now there is the view of these shepherds on their night watch. And here it is said in such a refined way in our Bibles that they were abiding in the field. Literally, it is they were living in the open. They're abiding in the field. They're living in the open field. Dear friends, at that season of the year when the sheep were not penned, but in the open at night, because let me give you a clue, it wasn't winter. These shepherds lived all the time, possibly in the open. They were working men, and they were towards the, as it were, the bottom, as you may say, of society. But this group of shepherds, it's an amazing thing. And we can't say for certain, but they seem to be spiritually minded. They seem to be believing men. They seem to be men who actually are trusting in the Word of God. Certainly, they didn't have education of any high degree. People were denied many of the privileges of life. Yet at the same time, they were educated in the things of God. They were Jews and they knew the ancient prophecies. And they expected the coming of the Messiah. They expected a child to be born where God somehow would enter into humanity. There would be a divine child, God who would be man. That was the expectation of the Jews, and that's what they were taught. Well, the reason I'm saying that it seems to me that they were believing Jews, that they actually trusted in the Bible, is that they actually received the words of these angels, and they went and obeyed it. They didn't criticize it. It made sense to them. But they were just amazed at what they heard. Well, that's something that we need to think about. But look at verse 9 now. What happened in verse 9? It says, "And lo," remember this morning I said, I said about that term, "lo," "and lo," look at this, "the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." The angels. Here, the angel of the Lord that is mentioned is described as the angel of the Lord. It's a peculiar, glorious angel to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Can we try to imagine it? What would it be actually like? Can you put yourself in the shoes of these shepherds? These shepherds, they were used to all kinds of night skies. But this is far beyond anything that they had seen. And in fact, it alarmed them. It stirred them up. It even terrified them. They were sore afraid, very afraid. This was truly supernatural. What they were seeing, it was truly supernatural in every sense. And so we read this description that the glory of the Lord shone about them. There is light everywhere, light everywhere. We think of light coming from the sky or coming in our sort of modern times from electrical lights and so on. We think of light emanating from a source. But this is not what it says. The light shone all around them. There was no source of light. The light simply appeared. Everything was bright. Everything was suffused with light. It was compelling. And it was powerfully awesome, fearful when they saw this. Something strange is happening. You see, they saw something of the glory of God. The glory of the Lord. And they felt it through their very being. And naturally, and especially if they were earnest men and believing in God, they were frightened, they were alarmed. This is not a normal thing that happens. Could this have been a judgment from God? Maybe God has come with great judgment. Could this be something heralding a punishment? Maybe God is exposing their sin. They would feel unclean. And certainly the whole thing, it was so alarming and so overwhelming that they were so frightened. You would be, I would be. And that's what the glory of the Lord shining round about them is. Words, these are, but and it takes no time to read them, but we need to ponder, we need to think. And it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and spoke to them. What an experience to have the glory of the Lord round about you. To have the voice of an angelic messenger speaking to you. And in due course, to hear the angelic choir. By the way, the only time that the choir of angels has ever been heard on earth is this, at the birth and nativity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is here. So there is this awareness for these shepherds, sudden awareness of these angels everywhere with their thunderous chorus of praise. They praised God with their voices. But before that, there is this message that is given. This message. The message is important. The message of the Word of God is very important. The message of who Jesus Christ is, dear friends, is very important. The very fact that you and I are sitting here in freedom, you know, it is because of the message of Jesus Christ. Imagine if you were living in a Muslim country. You couldn't sit like this. Why do you have freedoms? It's because of this message of Jesus Christ that has brought peace and order and stability in a society. That's what we have in the Western world, which is being lost so rapidly. But as it is, these men heard a very serious, important message. Look at verse 10. It says, and the angel said unto them. So the angel began to speak. It begins with these words, fear not. And he said this in a consoling way, calming way. Fear not. Fear not, for behold. See this. The word behold here is important. I'm bringing something for you. This is a message for men and women. This is a message for boys and girls. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good news of great joy for, what is it? The coming of Christ, the Messiah. The coming of the Savior. These are times of great happiness, great joy in life, it's saying. You can imagine, dear friends, the celebrations that followed the end of many, many wars that has happened. Second World War. What celebrations there were. You read of it. In our own lives, you may have had very serious illness and it's been overcome. By the grace of God, you have become well. And you're so thankful. You're rejoicing. You're meeting up with family again. and you are so thankful, and you are talking about it, and you are filled with appreciation and thankfulness. You have great joy. Maybe there's someone who has meant a lot to you, and you've been apart from each other. You've been far away from each other, separated by many miles. And then there is reunion. You've come together. You see each other again after a long, long time. It's a time of joy. You may find love. It's a time of great happiness and joy. But this exceeds them all, dear friends. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, these tidings, that's the news. Good tidings of very great joy, because God is entering in and the shepherds will be aware of it. God has come and entered into a human life. A new day has dawned, dear friends. These people were sitting in darkness, the Bible says, but now there is this light that has come. A new day has dawned. The ancient promises have been fulfilled. All the prophecies about Jesus Christ, they are coming to pass. They are being fulfilled. This child has now arrived. The human race is not discarded. And after all, dear friends, God has intervened and he has sent the promised Savior, and he is here. Oh, dear friends, he will have to suffer. This Savior will have to suffer. He would have to die. He will have to know this suffering far, far beyond the sum total of all human suffering, to bear the punishment of sin so that we may be forgiven. You need to appreciate this, that Jesus Christ was born not just to cause us to rejoice because of his birth, but he caused us to rejoice because of his death upon the cross. What he achieved for us on our behalf. All those who trust in him may be cleansed, may be pardoned, and given life. And by this day, the day of his coming, is a day of joy. It's a day of happiness. Now, we are going to think more about this. What does it mean? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is what the angel said. Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, educated, uneducated. These shepherds, boys, girls, children. This is for everybody. If those children need some help, we can maybe take them into upstairs. Just, it can be a little distracting. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, it says. This was the promise of the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. A virgin shall conceive. And the name of this child is called Emmanuel. The scripture means God with us. That's what that wording is. They expected, you see, from the Old Testament, somehow God himself would come. They didn't all know exactly how, but that would be the case. Jesus Christ would enter in. It was this promised seed of the woman. You see, God had said to Eve right at the beginning of creation, when Adam fell, you read the book of Genesis, and you come to chapter 3, and you see how man fell into sin. He rejected God, and he became detached and separated from God because of sin. But God comes in with this message, and he says, from the seed of this woman, a Savior would be born who would crush the head of the serpent. That's what he will do. And so that is the fulfillment of what the Lord had said when Jesus Christ came. So they were expecting a child to be born. And he would come now at a time, at the right time, he has come. And he has come to these uneducated shepherds. And these things have been brought to them. They know what the angel meant, that this child is born. They remember maybe the words of Isaiah the prophet. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Yes, but he will be divine. I hope you see that. Isaiah says he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. So this is the kind of Jesus. This is the true Christ of the Bible that you ought to worship and you ought to know. God himself in human flesh. That's the one that we love and we are worshiping. Now, especially when you come now to verse 12, when they were told that there is going to be a sign, it says this, "And this shall be a sign unto you," the angel said. This is the proof, he's saying. This is the indication. This is the mark. "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, in a feeding trough." How can it be? All the promises fulfilled with a babe, a newborn babe lying in a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes and that are torn up. And this is what you're going to see, you shepherds. This is just too remarkable. It's amazing. It's too amazing. How could you think of such a thing? It needed the appearance of the angel and the angelic host to authenticate such an amazing thing, dear friends. Then going on to verse 13, I'm just going through, working through the verses one at a time. You have then the angelic host appearing and praising God. They are singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill toward men. Well, dear friends, he is Christ the Lord. And going back, if we could go back to verse 11, look at that for a moment. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." It was another prophecy that the shepherds would have known that that very city where the divine child would be born would enter in. And then you see the threefold titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Savior. He is a Deliverer that is to be born. He is Emmanuel that is to be born. All of these things you can't make it up. They all align together according to what God had said would happen. God is saying, "I alone will be your Savior. I alone. And I come to you. In Jesus Christ, I come to you, and a Savior is born." Dear friends, this is an amazing truth. Are any of you here in this place and you've never found in Christ, Christ in a personal way? Are there people here who say, "Well, I've heard these things, but it hasn't affected my heart personally. I haven't experienced these things." These shepherds experienced this message of salvation, and their heart was filled, yes, with fear. But then at the end, you see, they went away rejoicing, praising God. This message has changed them. It has affected them forever. Maybe you're sitting there and say, "But I don't experience any of these things." You've never experienced the wonder of conversion. To be a child of God, to be changed from within. You have not come into communion with him, to know him, to prove him. And for him to have come to you, and for him to change you, giving you a new nature. Forgiving you of all your sins, removing this great baggage that you have on your heart. For him to remove that. That's an amazing experience. That's what we need, dear friends. That's what we are about. This is what this gospel of, this glad tidings of great joy is about. Our sins, you see, separate us from God. We can't walk with him. We can't sense him. We can't know him. We can't have him. We need a deliverer, one who can take away sin. How can that be done? This is why Jesus came. That one who must take away sin, must bear the punishment due to our sin. He must be our sin bearer. He must be perfect. He must make atonement for us. And that is the child who has come to grow up to be a Savior, a sin bearer, to take the eternal punishment of sin. And only, dear friends, a divine child could do that. Only a God-man to take away the sin of all who will repent and come to trust in him. So Jesus Christ is Savior. A Savior is born, the angel said. And so this is what the shepherds are told. He is Christ. That's the word for anointed. That's the same word for Messiah. It means anointed one, chosen one, appointed one. He is the one who is represented, our representative. Oh, my friends, if you look around you, if you look at people, those people that you know, you will find fault with them. You look at Christians, what do you see? A bunch of sinners. That's what you would see. You would see inconsistencies in them. You would see all sorts of things with them. And it can discourage you. You think, what kind of people are these? Well, they're a bunch of sinners. That's what they are. But they have been sent a Savior. So look away from Christians. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you find any fault in Jesus Christ? I ask you this. You go through the Gospels again and again and again, and you point to me. You may write to me and say, here is a fault I find in Jesus Christ. We cannot find. The people who were with him, they said, we find no fault in this man. They had to make things up. They had to find people who would lie for money before the courts so that they could accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, dear friends, this is the Savior who's come into this world to suffer and die. That's the way Jesus Christ came to save us. What do you want, dear friends, then? Do you want a ruler? What sort of a ruler do we need? There is no human being that makes an adequate ruler. Jesus Christ was called a king, king of the Jews. We have to have earthly rulers. You can't have a nation, you can't have a country without rulers, without government. What you will have, there are some people say, we don't need government. It's a made-up thing. It is a cultural thing that we have governments. But the governments are appointed by God, the Bible says. It is to give order. Or else we would have anarchy if there is no government. So you wouldn't want to live in a country without a government. But God has provided for that. He's put a desire within every human being to have order and to have human rule so that the world is just about manageable. The world is just about habitable and capable of survival. And so there's some degree of peace. But you want a human being only to be an eternal ruler? Do you want somebody who is merely a human being to rule over us, to guide us and to govern us? Of course not. You say, I'm so glad that we can get rid of this government after a few years and appoint some others. We can't. Even the best of governments, we find fault with them. But you want to have God. You want to have God who is both God and man, one who is divine, one who possesses all the attributes of God, character of God, Christ who is all wisdom and all power and all kindness and all love and all conceivable capability. You want him to be the eternal Lord. And so he is. So he is. Do you want to rule your own life? Are you not fed up of yourself? Are you not looking back and say to yourself, as I do, what have I done with my life? What an awful mess it is. But I want Jesus Christ, I want someone else to take charge of the reins of my life and guide me and lead me and show me. I don't want a tyrant, but I want someone who loves me. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us. This is how he expresses his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. This is the love of God. Not that we loved him, but he first loved us. This is why Jesus Christ came. So he is Lord, dear friends, and he came in this way to be our Savior. That's why it is so important that Christians would think about this and thank God for the coming of Jesus Christ again and again and again. And so we need to move on. Look at verse 15. These angels had said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And verse 15, you have this. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, These are people who are believing people. They realize this is of God. God is the one who has shown us these things. It's not the figment of our imagination. We are not making things up. We are not dreaming these things. God has shown these things to us. So this is, again, the more you think about it, it's so amazing, so wonderful. So these are believing men. And then move on to verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They come quickly. They can't wait. They have to see for themselves. And maybe that is the same thing with you. You have been given promises of the Bible. You've been given all sorts of things. You go and find out for yourself. You go and search these things out for yourself. Study the Word of God. Find out what is this gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been brought up in the church. Maybe you have been brought up and gone. Maybe you have no idea, like myself, 20 years ago or so, I had no idea what was the New Testament and the Old Testament, and I had no clue whatsoever. But when God begins to work in you and puts those interests and these questions in your mind, be encouraged. Because you see, if God is putting these questions in your heart, you naturally wouldn't want to know anything about these things. Naturally, we don't want to have anything to do with the things of God. We just want to go on with our life and just be ignorant of these things. I don't need to know about these things at all. But if God is putting these questions in your mind, you go and search these things out and say to the Lord, God, show me these things. Help me to understand these things. And go and study the Word of God. These are unbelievable things. He's come. God has come as a babe. Can you imagine that? Do you know the meaning of that? Why was he born as a babe? Why couldn't Jesus Christ come as an adult? Why did he come as a baby? Do you know? Have you any idea? Have you thought about it? I had to think about this. I'd never thought about this before, I have to say, before preparing this message. Why did he come? I just take it at face value. The Bible says so. He came as a babe. But why? Why not as an adult? He could have come as an adult. He had appeared before in the Bible. You see, in the Old Testament, you read certain parts and Jesus Christ appears. That's an amazing thing. I won't take time to show you those things. You read your Old Testament and you'll find out. But here he comes as a babe. Why does he come and live through infancy, live through childhood to adulthood? Year after year is embarking upon this redeeming work. It teaches us many, many things. When Christ came, he was going to assume all human limitations and imperfections, the limitations of man. He became hungry. He became sad. He became thirsty. He became tired. These are the limitations of man, imperfections of man. He never sinned. He remained holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, but he lived amongst sinners. In his divine nature, since he is God manifest in the flesh, he would still be infinite and infinitely God, but he would enter into a human body with all its limitations. He would not exempt himself, you see, from any human pressures at all. And you see, we should have lived perfect life. But the human race fell, and we fell. That's why you and I do awful things and can do awful things and think awful things. We need not only a Savior who will bear the punishment of sin for us, but a Savior who will earn eternal blessings for us. He's our representative. He didn't exempt himself from any phase of human life. That's why he came as a baby. So you couldn't say, well, you don't know my life. Look at how I was born. What kind of a family I was born? You were not born in a family like mine. My family is so complicated. You begin to study and think through the whole issues with Joseph and Mary and others in the family. When other children were born, they didn't at one point, they didn't believe him. they found and said, well, why is he doing that? We want you to come out of this place. And he wouldn't go to them, and they were not happy with him. Mary told him to make wine and so on. And he had to say to Mary, woman, my hour has not come. But he came as a babe, so he would go through all the phases of life that you and I go through. That's why he came. If he came as an adult, you would say, you were never a teenager. You never experienced my temptations, my things that I have had to go through. So you boys and girls, you young men and young women, you can go to Jesus Christ. He knows the things that you go through as well. So, dear friends, here is a wonderful truth. Jesus Christ came to this world of sinners. These angels came. The angel came and spoke such words about the Savior who has been born in the city of David. These angels, they praised God and worshiped God and glorified God. And then these shepherds went away. They ran to find, where is Jesus? And they find that they find him exactly as the angel had said. This is true. It's an amazing thing. It's true. It's unbelievable, but it is true. And I like verse 20, where it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So here they were praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. You see, that is the Christian experience. Heard and seen. Can I just emphasize those words? Do you know what conversion is? What becoming a true Christian is? An experience of God being reconciled to us. To experience that. It can be summed up in these words. Heard and seen. You hear the way of salvation. You hear the message of God. You hear that Jesus Christ came. You hear that he grew and he preached and he lived the perfect life. And he worked mighty miracles. He showed himself, he revealed himself, he demonstrated himself to be divine. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, before you existed, I lived. From eternity, I lived. He then went to the cross, and you hear this. You've heard this. You hear of Calvary and how he allowed himself, permitted himself in apparent weakness to be arrested and to be nailed to the cross. He wasn't dragged there. He went there willingly. And you hear of how he hung on that cross, dying between those two thieves for 6 hours, three of which were plunged into darkness. And you hear of the meaning of it, that on that cross there was something infinitely worse than the pains of nails through the hands and his feet, that he, as the Son of God, who took unto himself all the punishments of our sins. It's an amazing thing. It is a heartbreaking thing. We cannot understand it. I'm preaching this, but I only know so little of it. God looked upon his Son, Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross. God the Father, from the eternal glory, this Son who was born in this wonderful way and in this innocent way, this gentle babe who was then now grown up, and he was nailed to the cross. The Father, with all his eternal glory, poured upon his Son all the punishment of all who would be forgiven. And he bore it away with his mighty love. That indescribable agony of eternal punishment. You hear these things, dear friends. And then you hear that you can go before him. And you can go and repent of your sins. And you can desire to leave the old life behind. Do you want to carry on with that old life? Would you not want to get rid of it and leave it behind and run after Jesus Christ and for him to give you eternal life? That is what he offers to us. to become a new person. The Bible says a new creation, new creatures, a new person. And to have a new life, to be ruled by the Lord Jesus, rather than us going after our own whims and wishes that have brought us thus far. What did they do for us? But here these men, they heard and they saw. They heard the word of God, the message of the angel, and they went and they saw for themselves. That's again like conversion. You hear these wonderful things, and I've been saying to you, obey it. Go and find out for yourself. Go and trust in the Lord for yourself. Then you'll begin to see. God will give you eyes to see. You see, in the sense that you understand so much more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the sense that you have an experience of conversion, your eyes will be opened. I now see things I never saw before. God has given me eyes to see. You know, dear friends, then in that situation, your own nature, it's been changed. You know, you've been reconciled with God. You know that you've discovered the Savior. Now you discover prayer. God is answering your prayers. You're communing with Him. You're talking to Him. He's talking to you through His Word. You have an unfolding experience of God hearing and answering your prayers. You have a new and indescribable happiness and joy and peace. Not that your life becomes all happy and all goes well for you. No. In the midst of all those trials, in the midst of all those pains, the Lord Jesus Christ is near you. He's still hearing you. And the one that you love and the one who loves you is with you, who will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, dear friends, this is it. How beautiful this is. This is a beautiful way in verse 20 that this whole thing is described, that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. These shepherds of Bethlehem, they saw that glorious sky, they saw an angel, they heard the voice, they saw the multitude of angels, and they heard the chorus of their praise and rejoicing. They saw the child. There was nothing, I don't think, any different about Christ in appearance to any other child in a feeding trough. But then, with the eyes of faith, they realized that they were beholding the greatest wonder of human history, the eternal Son of God, who's entered into being a Savior, the Savior, to be Christ, to be Lord of all those who seek Him and find Him and love Him. Dear friends, as I finish now, that's the message of Christ. That's the message of His birth. That's why He came into this world. And may I leave you with these words, the words of verse 20. And urge you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to make Him your own. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And they proved, if you like. They saw these things. They realized all of these things are true. So, my friends, Jesus Christ is the Savior, as we have read. That day, that night, a Savior was born, which is Christ the Lord. And He's the one that Christians worship and praise every Lord's Day. That's why we gather. And He is the rejoicing of our hearts. But may God bless these thoughts to us. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bless Thee and thank Thee for the birth of the Lord Jesus. We are so thankful for His coming into this world. Lord, we know so little of Him, but we pray that we might know Him as our Savior. We thank Thee that He knows us, everything about us. And with all that He knows, we thank Thee He yet came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we pray these things now through Jesus Christ our Lord.